be part of this historic convention. On the eve of the nomination of John McCain for President of the United States. And I also want to recognize a former president and first lady, my father-in-law, President George Bush and Barbara Bush, and my sister-in-law, Dorothy. The Republican Party has a very exciting ticket, a real American hero, John McCain, and a strong executive and proven reformer, Governor Sarah Palin. I'm proud that America's first female vice president will be a Republican woman. Women have always played an important role in our party, from energizing grassroots to driving policy. Thank you to the dedicated women in our audience for making the Republican Party so strong. I'm proud that impressive women have served in my husband's administration. Women like Education Secretary Margaret Spellings, Labor Secretary Elaine Chao, and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. President Bush will address the convention in just a minute from the White House. Before I introduce him, though, I want to talk to you a little bit about the man I love. The first time I spoke at our convention, George was governor of Texas, and I was in front of the largest crowd I'd ever addressed. That night, I told you about a man of character whose principles would not shift with the winds of politics or polls. A lot has changed in the last 8 years, but one thing has stayed constant. George remains a man of strong values with enduring love for the United States of America. America is in the middle of a heated campaign. Recently, you've heard a lot of politicians offer a lot of opinions, but you haven't heard very many facts. So I thought I'd share a few with you tonight. In honor of our nominee, let's call it a little straight talk. On an issue that's close to my heart, President Bush initiated the most important education reforms in a generation, holding schools accountable and boosting funds for reading instruction. Today, student achievement is rising across the board, and test scores for minority students are at the highest they've ever been. We all know how important it is for America to have judges who respect the Constitution. Our whole nation can be proud of the two newest members of the Supreme Court, Justice Sam Alito and Chief Justice John Roberts. Many in this arena and many across our nation are people of faith, people who have answered the call to love your neighbor. The president has empowered faith-based and community charities to partner with government to help those in need. Engaging these groups is successful policy. One way we know this, across the country, 35 governors from both parties have started faith-based and community initiatives of their own. And here's another inspiring statistic. When my husband took office, fewer than 50,000 Africans suffering from AIDS were receiving the medicine they needed to survive. Thanks to the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, that number is now nearly 2 million. You might call that change you can really believe in. George is using America's influence to lift up lives around the world. Millions of children are protected from malaria by mosquito nets the American people provide. In Afghanistan and Iraq, 50 million people are now living in freedom. And let's not forget, President Bush has kept the American people safe. Be grateful to the men and women who volunteer to wear the uniform of the United States, to the military families who know the anxiety of waiting for a loved one to return. America honors your service, and we give you our thanks. In 2 months, the American people will choose a new president. No one knows what the job requires better than the man who holds this office. Ladies and gentlemen, my husband and the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
As you know, my duties have me here in Washington tonight to oversee the federal government's efforts to help citizens recover from Hurricane Gustav. We are thankful that the damage in New Orleans and across the Gulf Coast was less than many had feared. I commend the governors of Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas for their sure-handed response and seamless coordination with the federal government. I thank all the wonderful volunteers who stepped forward to help their brothers and sisters in need. We know that there is still risk even after the storm has passed. So I ask citizens across the region to listen closely to local officials and follow their instructions before returning to their homes. All of us are keeping the people of the Gulf Coast in our thoughts and our prayers. As you gather tonight in St. Paul, I want to share some thoughts about our nominee, a great American and the next President of the United States, John McCain. Before I do so, I want to say hello to two people in the hall with you tonight. I could have no finer examples of character, decency, and integrity than my mom and dad, and I love you a lot. I know what it takes to be president. In these past 8 years, I've sat at the Resolute desk and reviewed the daily intelligence briefings, the threat assessments, and the reports from our commanders on the front lines. I've stood in the ruins of buildings knocked down by killers and promised the survivors I would never let them down. I know the hard choices that fall solely to a president. John McCain's life has prepared him to make those choices. He is ready to lead this nation. From the day of his commissioning, John McCain was a respected naval officer who made decisions on which the lives of others depended. As an elected public servant, he earned the respect of colleagues in both parties as a man to follow when there's a tough call to make. John McCain's life is a story of service above self. 40 years ago, in an enemy prison camp, Lieutenant Commander McCain was offered release ahead of others who had been held longer. His wounds were so severe that anyone would have understood if he had accepted. John refused. For that selfless decision, he suffered nearly 5 more years of beatings and isolation. When he was released, his arms had been broken, but not his honor. Fellow citizens, if the Hanoi Hilton could not break John McCain's resolve to do what is best for his country, you can be sure the angry left never will. As the father of 7 sons and daughters, John has the heart of a protector. He and his wonderful wife, Cindy, are adoptive parents. John is a leader who knows that human life is fragile, that human life is precious, that human life must be defended. We have seen John McCain's commitment to principle in our nation's capital. John is a steadfast opponent of wasteful spending. As president, he will stand up to the high tax crowd in Congress and make the tax relief permanent. He will invest in the energy technologies of tomorrow and lift the ban on drilling for America's offshore oil today. John is an independent man who thinks for himself. He's not afraid to tell you when he disagrees. Believe me, I know. No matter what the issue, this man is honest and speaks straight from the heart. Last year, John McCain's independence and character helped change history. The Democrats had taken control of Congress and were threatening to cut off funds for our troops. In the face of calls for retreat, I ordered a surge of forces into Iraq. Many in Congress said it had no chance of working. Yet one senator above all had faith in our troops and the importance of their mission, and that was John McCain. Some told him that his early and consistent call for more troops would put his presidential campaign at risk. He told them he would rather lose an election than see his country lose a war. That is the kind of courage and vision we need in our next commander-in-chief. My fellow citizens, we live in a dangerous world, and we need a president who understands the lessons of September the 11th, 2001, that to protect America, we must stay on the offense, stop attacks before they happen, and not wait to be hit again. The man we need is John McCain. When he takes office next January, John will have an outstanding leader at his side. America will have a strong and principled vice president in the governor of the great state of Alaska, Sarah Palin. In the time the Oval Office has been in my trust, I've kept near my desk reminders of America's character, including a painting of a West Texas mountain lit by the morning sun. It reminds me that Americans have always lived on the sunrise side of the mountain. We are a nation that looks to the new day with confidence and optimism. And I'm optimistic about our future because I believe in the goodness and wisdom of the American people. I am optimistic because I have faith in freedom's power to lift up all of God's children and lead this world to a future of peace. And I'm optimistic about something else. When the debates have ended and all the ads have run and it is time to vote, Americans will look closely at the judgment, the experience, and the policies of the candidates, and they will cast their ballots for the McCain-Palin ticket. While I'm not with you in the Twin Cities on this wonderful night for our party, with Laura Bush speaking, you have clearly traded up. I am so proud the American people have come to know her gracious presence, her determined spirit, and her loving heart. Laura has been a fantastic First Lady. Thank you, Laura, and thanks to all of you in the hall tonight. God bless you, and God bless America.
I've seen the burdens of the presidency up close. John McCain has what it takes to face the challenges that lie ahead, and he has the support of America's next First Lady, Cindy McCain. This year alone, Cindy has discussed landmine removal with Kosovo's president and prime minister. She's met with children undergoing reconstructive surgery in Vietnam. She's listened to stories from survivors of genocide in Rwanda. And she's comforted Georgian refugees who fled their homes in South Ossetia. If Cindy can do all of this just in the last 8 months, imagine what she can do in the next 4 years in the White House. People can expect great things from John and Cindy McCain. And President Bush and I can tell John and Cindy that they can expect great things from the American people. We leave the White House with deep gratitude for your support. Our lives have been enriched by the generosity of citizens across our country, the children who welcomed us to their schools with songs and signs, the volunteers, church pastors, and city mayors who shared stories of caring for those in need, the members of the military and their families who answered our nation's call to serve, and those who've approached us with the simple and humbling words, "We're praying for you." Thank you very much for your encouragement and your prayers. Thank you for your support of the next president and First Lady of the United States, John and Cindy McCain. May God bless you all, and may God bless America.